Okay, let's have a word of prayer together. Father, we're truly amazed at the love that you have for us. Obviously, unconditional love. We're grateful that it is an eternal love that never changes. We're thankful, Father, that though we are unfaithful, you always remain faithful. You love us through our best times and through our worst times, because your love is not dependent on our performance. Your love is deeply seated in the fact that you are love. We're grateful that your love was demonstrated and continues to be demonstrated today, because that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so as we consider the cross of your Son, we are reminded of your love for us, to think that you sent your Son, who knew no sin, to become sin for us. He who had never committed a crime or had violated your holy law, he went to the cross, bore our sins in his own body on the tree. He took the curse of the law for us, and there, as our substitute, completed the work of redemption. We're grateful for that immense provision that was made for us at the cross. In Christ's name, amen. We continue looking at the 43 provisions that God has made for us in his grace. And we look at number 21, at least in my list, and that is the fact that God has provided for us the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. That is a provision that God has made for every believer. We need to understand this in the context of the whole Word of God, because there's much confusion about what the indwelling of the Holy Spirit means. It also affects our understanding of when the church, the body of Christ, started, because the assumption is that because the Holy Spirit was given on the day of Pentecost, and because there are references to the church in early Acts, we assume that the body of Christ, the church, started in the book of Acts chapter 2. I hope that you will see from this study that that is not possible, and that what happened in Acts chapter 2 was indeed promised to Israel. It was prophesied in the Old Testament, and it was given as a promise in the Gospels and in early Acts. So we need to look at the work of the Holy Spirit, his indwelling, as it relates to Israel, and then as it relates to the body of Christ. I would like for us to look at the book of Ezekiel, the book of Ezekiel, chapter 39. In case you're having trouble finding that on my Bible, it's page number 966. This is a little easier to find than Obadiah or Habakkuk or some of the minor prophets. Ezekiel chapter 39, beginning with verse 25. Obviously, God is speaking here to the nation of Israel. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, now will I bring again the captivity of Jacob, and have mercy upon the whole house of Israel, and will be jealous for my holy name. After that they have borne their shame and all their trespasses, whereby they have trespassed against me, So here is a record or summary statement about the rebellion of Israel against God. They refused to listen to the message of the prophets and the calling of the prophets for Israel to return to God, to turn away from idols, to keep his commandments, his laws, his testimonies, his statutes. And they refused, but one day Israel will return to God. After that, they have borne their shame, and all their trespasses, whereby they have trespassed against me when they dwelt safely in their land, and none made them afraid. When I have brought them again from the people and gathered them out of their enemies' lands, and am sanctified in them in the sight of many nations, then shall they know that I am the Lord their God. So there is a bright future for the nation of Israel. And they will know that the Lord is their God, the true and living God is their God, which caused them to be led into captivity among the heathen, but I have gathered them unto their own land. What is happening today in Israel is not God's gathering of his people into the land. God will do that miraculously. One day Israel will be gathered into the promised land. That will be God's doing. He says, but I have gathered them unto their own land and have left none of them any more there. So it will be a wholesale migration to Israel, to the promised land. Neither will I hide my face any more from them. Here it is, for I have poured out my spirit upon the house of Israel, says the Lord God. There are several terms that are used with relationship to the giving of the Holy Spirit to Israel. Here he says, I have poured out my spirit upon my people, upon the house of Israel. And so, yet future, here when God is speaking in Ezekiel, there's a day coming when Israel will receive the Holy Spirit, when he will be poured out. Now that expression is used in several places in the Old Testament. It is said that God will pour out his indignation, that he will pour out his wrath, he will pour out his anger. And during the tribulation, that's exactly what will happen. When God pours out his wrath upon apostate Israel and the Gentile nations. Here it is a promise to the nation of Israel. It is predicting what God will do for Israel. He will pour out of his spirit upon Israel. You agree, of course, that this is yet future. It is spoken in the future tense. It was spoken hundreds of years before, if we relate this to the coming of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost upon Israel, it is certainly spoken many, many years prior to that. Then look at the book of Zechariah, the book of Zechariah, about 80 page forward from there. Zechariah chapter 12. Zechariah chapter 12, beginning with verse 9, just verses 9 and 10. Again, it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem, and I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem. You know that we're here on Jewish ground. It's the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the spirit of grace and supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him. There comes a day in the future when Israel will recognize and acknowledge her Messiah. They will look upon his wounds which they inflicted upon him. And they shall mourn. They shall repent of what they did as a nation. They shall mourn for him as one mourns for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him, one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. In that day there shall be great mourning in Jerusalem, as the mourning of Hadad Rimmon in the valley of Megiddon. So the spirit of grace and of supplications, that may be interpreted as an attitude, although the Spirit of God will in fact have a role in bringing this about with the nation of Israel. If you go to the Gospel according to John, John chapter 15, the Lord Jesus Christ, as he is interacting with his apostles, his Jewish apostles, the ones that will be ruling over the 12 tribes of Israel, we know in John chapter 15 that the body of Christ is nowhere to be found. Everyone pretty much agrees with that. And in John chapter 15, beginning with verse 20, remember the word that I said unto you, the Lord Jesus Christ says to his apostles, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they'll also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they don't know him that sent me. They do this in spiritual ignorance. They persecute you because you're identifying with me, and because you're identifying with me, they're going to persecute you just as they persecuted me. And they do that because they do not know him that sent me. That's the Father. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. Their sin has been openly exposed. The incarnation discloses the sinfulness of man. And the words of Christ as well disclose the sin of man. So in verse 22, if I had not come and spoken unto them, that's his words, they had not sinned, but now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hates me hates my Father also. And so there are three that are hated. Christ says to his apostles, you're going to be hated because I am hated. And when they hate me, they hate the Father also, the one that they claim to be descendants of, the one that they claim as their Father. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, so here we have the incarnation disclosing the sin of man in this passage. We have the words of Christ disclosing the sin of man, and now the works of Christ disclosing the sin of man. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen, they have seen the works, they have heard the words, they have seen me, and still they hated both me and my Father. So don't be surprised if they hate you. But this comes to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. It's a great statement there, because the word, the Greek word there is dorian, which has to do without a cause. So there was no cause in Christ that would elicit a response of hatred on the part of people. So it wasn't Christ that caused this hatred, it was the sin of man that caused this hatred. That same word, dorian, without a cause, is in Romans chapter 3, where God has given to us a free gift of his grace, and he did it without a cause in us. So they hated Christ without a cause. There was no cause in Christ for him to be hated, even as there was no cause in us that God should bestow upon us his grace and redemption in Christ. No cause in us. It's undeserved. Even as the hatred on the part of the world toward Christ is undeserved, so his gifts of grace are undeserved toward us. Now, the promise of the Holy Spirit in verse 26, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father. So now Christ says, I will send him to you, and he comes from the Father. Those are the words that Christ is speaking to his apostles here in John chapter 15. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, he shall testify of me. That will be his role. The role of the Holy Spirit is to testify of the Son. The Son comes to represent and testify of the Father. Verse 27, and ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. All right, so the Holy Spirit here, named the Comforter, the Spirit of Truth, is promised to the apostles. John chapter 16. These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Expect this. Yea, the time comes that whosoever kills you will think that he does God's service. Reminds me of somebody called Saul of Tarsus, truly believing that he was doing God's service by persecuting those who identified themselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. Interesting job description here. Interesting benefits that Christ promised the apostles. How would you like to apply for a job? And your employer says, look, they're going to kick you in the teeth. They're going to persecute you. They're going to kill you. And, they're going to think that God is doing service, or they're doing service to God for that. And these things will they do unto you because they've not known the Father, nor me. That's the reason why they're going to do that to you, because the religious hierarchy is spiritually dead. Spiritually dead. All right? And that's why they're going to do that for you, or to you. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. I was with you, I'm going to leave you, and I'm telling you things that you need to know. But now I go my way to him that sent me. I'm going back to my Father who sent me, and none of you ask me, where do you go? Where goest thou? Where are you going? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow has filled your heart. You don't understand what's happening. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient. It is vital. It is critical that I leave. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. He's speaking here of the person of the Holy Spirit. In keeping with the promise in the Old Testament to Israel, he is confirming that promise. If you read Romans chapter 15 and verse 8, you'll see Christ's role in his earthly ministry. He came to confirm the promises to the nation of Israel. Here is the confirmation of one promise. The Comforter, the Holy Spirit, will come unto you. it is promised to Israel. Now go back to the prophets once again, to Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2, and see what promise is given there. Joel chapter 2, beginning with verse 27. Joel chapter 2, verse 27. And ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. It is clear from the context and from the words here that God is speaking to the nation of Israel. And he says in verse 28, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out of my spirit. Then I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. And it's interesting that there is the promise here of the coming of the Holy Spirit. This is an important passage because when people are wondering in Acts chapter 2, what in the world is going on, Peter quotes this passage, part of it at least, and refers back to the promise that God gave through Joel to the nation of Israel to say, I'm giving you my Holy Spirit. He is going to be poured out upon you. Now, verse 30 of Joel chapter 2 is not quoted in Acts chapter 2 because there's something that happens between verses 29 and 30. They didn't know that. We do. And that is the dispensation of the grace of God. This interregnum, this parenthesis that we've been living in for 2,000 years that was never prophesied in the Word of God, that is called mystery by the Apostle Paul. He says that this was hidden in God from the foundation of the world. It was hidden. It was not revealed. And it was not revealed until God revealed it to Paul, and Paul revealed it to us. So here we have this great parenthesis that shows up nowhere in Scripture that is called mystery, that is called the dispensation of the grace of God, which has reference to the body of Christ, the church, the body of Christ, God's called out ones, this new creation that God has formed, and he's in the process of forming and completing the body of Christ. We don't know when that will be completed, but we know that once the body of Christ has been completed, we will hear the voice of the archangel, the shout of God, the trumpet of God, and we shall meet the Lord in the air. We will be called out of earth, and our role and commission that's been given to us for here on earth, and then God will resume his prophetic program with Israel. But when Joel speaks, when Ezekiel speaks, when Zechariah records the words of God, when John records the words of our Lord Jesus Christ to the apostles, there's reference to what God is going to do with Israel. All right, so this is in reference to Israel. That's very clear from the context and from the very words. The house of Israel, the house of Jacob, my people, constantly here. Is that clear? So that's what's going on here. Now go to Acts chapter 1. We're getting closer here to the coming of the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 2, in Acts chapter 1, Luke, who writes the book, the record of the book of Acts, he says, the former treatise have I made, with reference to what we call the Gospel of Luke, which he also wrote, the former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. Began. That means his ministry is going to continue. And it continues in that day. Until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. The Lord Jesus Christ is killed, he is buried, and he rises again the third day and appears to the apostles to give them further instructions and to give to them the commissions of their role, what they would do in his absence. So this is reference here in verse 2 to the commandments which were given by the Holy Ghost, by the Lord Jesus Christ through the Holy Ghost, commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, after his suffering, after his crucifixion, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Of course, the kingdom of God, because that was the message. That was the program of Israel. The kingdom of God had been predicted and prophesied and promised since the beginning of the world. And now, as John the Baptizer comes on the scene, he says, that kingdom which has been promised is now at hand. The Lord Jesus Christ proclaimed the gospel of the kingdom, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. When he commissions his 12 apostles in Matthew chapter 10, he says to them, I want you to preach the gospel of the kingdom, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And he gives them signs of the kingdom to perform. And so it follows that now that Christ has died and was buried, now he's risen from the dead, and he continues teaching his apostles, 11 thus far, because Judas had committed suicide. He was the great betrayer, the criminal, the wicked one. And so he speaks to them during those 40 days, additional revelation concerning the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them, he gave them instruction that they should not depart from Jerusalem. Why? Because there was something to be done. They were to wait. Wait for whom or for what? Wait for the promise of the Father. What promise specifically did the Father give to the nation of Israel and specifically to the 12 apostles in John chapter 15 and John chapter 16? It was the promise of the Holy Spirit. But wait for the promise of the Father, which says he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized you with water. When John came, he baptize you with water to identify you with the little flock. But, ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days from now. Well, specifically, after 50 days, Penta is 50, Pentecost, for 40 days, he met with them, he spoke with them, and on the 50th day, just a few days, the Holy Spirit would come. Now, he says that they would be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Right? So, we have some promises here. The promise of the Holy Spirit given, as we read in Ezekiel, in Zechariah, in Joel, John 15, John 16, Christ says, he's about to come. That promise, you see, the promise of the Father is about to be fulfilled. So what I want you to do is I want you to stay in Jerusalem. Don't leave Jerusalem. And the promise of the Father is coming. And that promise is the coming of the Holy Spirit. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they were therefore come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Appropriate question. You've been preaching that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. John the Baptizer preached the gospel of the kingdom. You told us to preach the gospel of the kingdom. Is this going to happen now? Are we ready? Is that promise coming? Now, he said, you stay in Jerusalem, the promise of the Father, the Holy Spirit. You're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And an appropriate question, are you going to, at this point, restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So the other promise here is that with the coming of the Holy Spirit will come power for you to be witnesses. Who's he speaking to? He's speaking to the 11 apostles. Consistent with the promises made in the Old Testament and by the Lord Jesus Christ as recorded in the Gospels. And so here we have it, ready to be revealed. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. So far, we're on Jewish ground. So far, he's talking to his 12 circumcision, to his 11 circumcision apostles here, his 12 circumcision apostles in John 15 and 16. So we're still on Jewish ground. Now, chapter 2 of the book of Acts, here's the fulfillment of the promise made to Israel. And Christ, in fact, referred to it as the promise of the Father in Acts chapter 1, verse 4. Wait in Jerusalem for the promise of the Father. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Now there's another term with reference to the ministry of the Holy Spirit as it relates to Israel. So Christ said to them back in the Old Testament, I will pour out of my Spirit, I will send him, Christ said, the Father will send him to you, he must come, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit, you will be endued with power, and when he actually comes, and he is poured out in Acts chapter 2 upon the Jewish apostles and upon all those gathered there. They were all Jews gathered there. The Father sends the Holy Spirit to them. He is poured out upon them. They are baptized with the Holy Spirit. As we will see, they're endued with power and become witnesses of the resurrection and of Christ. And it is said here that pouring of the Holy Spirit fills them. They're filled with the Holy Spirit, all connected to each other, all related to each other. The word baptized here, it has to do with identification. Identification. When Christ said that to his apostles, you are going to be baptized with my baptism in the context of his death in Matthew chapter 20, I believe. That has to do with the fact that they will be identified with the death of Christ. Romans 6, the baptism that we experience as members of the body of Christ has to do with our identification with Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. So here we have clearly from the Old Testament, from time past, there's the promise of the Father, the coming of the Holy Spirit. He comes in Acts chapter 2 as that fulfillment of the promise. What makes us think, what makes us conclude, what have we read here that causes us to conclude that this means that the body of Christ started here? I don't see it. Nobody should see that because it's not there. This is all Jewish ground. This is all in fulfillment of the promise to Israel by God. And so they are filled with the Holy Spirit, verse 4 of Acts chapter 2. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And they were dwelling at Jerusalem, Jews. That's who was there. Jews, of course. It was the day of Pentecost, a Jewish feast. The promise of the coming of the Holy Spirit was to the Jews. Devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and they were confused. They were confused in mind. Confounded because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, "Behold, are not all these that are speaking Galileans?" I mean, that's the low end of the totem pole. These are uneducated people. They're, for the most part, fishermen. And here they're speaking in other languages. You think that people that speak a lot of languages, there's some smarts in them. Not these Galileans. What are they doing speaking all these other languages? And how hear we every man in our own language, in our own tongue, wherein we were born, our mother tongue? So here are people from all over the place. The list is a sample list is in verses 9, 10, and the beginning of verse 11. There's a whole list of foreigners, foreign Jews, that came to celebrate the day of Pentecost in Jerusalem. And here the Holy Spirit comes and there's a miracle as prophesied in the Old Testament. And they begin to speak in the languages that these people, our mother tongue, the languages that we were born to. Verse 11, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues, the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, "What does this mean? What does this mean?" They should have known what it meant. It should have been clear to them if they knew the scriptures. They have said, "Oh yeah, the light should have gone on. This is what Ezekiel spoke about. This is what Zechariah spoke about. Actually, this is what Joel spoke about more specifically. We understand what's going on." They didn't. They should have. Then there were others, some said, "What does this mean?" Others started mocking. And they said, "These people are drunk." Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, "Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. For these are not drunk, as you supposed, seeing it is but the third hour of the day." Doesn't happen. But, verse 16 is the key, "but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel." And he quotes a portion of what I read to you from Joel chapter 2. "And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy." All right? So that's what's going on here. It's the fulfillment of the promise of the coming of the Holy Spirit upon the nation of Israel to equip them to go through what was awaiting them, the tribulation, and then to equip them to keep his laws, his commandments, and to for those who survive the tribulation to go into the kingdom program. That's what's going on here. There is no trace, there is no indication here that the body of Christ is anywhere to be found in any of these promises, in any of these scriptures, and not in Acts chapter 2. That is a biblical impossibility. And we come to conclusions that are erroneous when we believe that because the Holy Spirit indwells every believer today, that the coming of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2 has to do with the body of Christ. And we'll continue that in our second session.